Trekking in Nepal, a podcast brought to you by Magical Nepal, where we explore all the latest treks, trail conditions, equipment, and ideas to help you plan your adventure of a lifetime. Now, here's your host explorer, Mark Tregallis.
You might not think that 1 or 2 day trips in and around Kathmandu and Nepal are worth doing, but in fact they are. Today in the podcast, we're going to cover exactly that, 1 and 2 day trips. Most of those 1 and 2 day trips will be around the central Nepal and eastern Nepal areas. Also, on parts of some of the explanations I'll be giving, will be part of an interview given by Michelle Della Giovanni. Michelle comes from America, where she travelled to Nepal, loved it so much that she stayed and is now engaged to a Nepali. She has the website fulltimeexplorer.com and has one of the best interactive maps I've seen on the most beautiful places of Nepal, most of which I had never heard of before. So it is really worth going to and exploring. So to start off, we're just going to look in and around Kathmandu City. You can just stroll around the trading roads and the old town centre around Azentol and the ancient Basantapur and Durba Square temples and palace areas. If you're coming back after a long time away, the old freak streets and pie alleys are worth having a look at. They have changed. You can continue on to the Bagmati Heritage Walkways, Ghats and Temples between Bagmati Bridge and Binzamati River, which is under restoration since the 2015 earthquake. Try and get out of Tamil. There's a lot of Kathmandu that is well worth exploring, and it would be really good to get out to and have a look at. For those of you who are looking to do something a little bit out of the ordinary and a little bit different, I can really recommend a Kathmandu breakfast food tour. Backstreetacademy.com organises it. Akanti, and her friends are the ones that will take you around. They pick you up very early in the morning, and you can experience Nepali breakfast dishes that basically you've never heard of. So there's no momos or dal bhat. It can be 100% adjusted to any diet, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. You get a balanced city tour. It's also mixed with stops at temples to observe the morning rituals of locals. You can experience vibrant and colourful streets of Kathmandu. It is a great kickstarter tour to exploring Kathmandu. You can eat as much as your heart desires. The cost of the tour, including all food and drinks, are there. Your guide speaks English. They are normally young and really good. If you're lucky, you'll get Kanti herself. There is a pick-up and drop-off service if you want, but you've got to pay a bit extra for that. And the only thing they don't do are food and beverages that aren't within the scope of the tour. So what is this? It is $16. If you get a chance, I can really recommend it. Just Google Backstreet Academy Kathmandu Breakfast Food Tour, and you can just book directly through the website. Next up we have Pashupatinath, the main Hindu temple and the pilgrimage area just west of Kathmandu, well worth a visit. Bhaktapur. Now, originally Kathmandu had three medieval cities within the Kathmandu Valley that were ancient towns to kings. There was Bhaktapur, Patan, or in the old language, or in older times, Ladapur, and Kathmandu itself. The best currently at the moment, though, to visit is Bhaktapur. It's the most intact of the largest city landscapes of the Mala period, around 1500 AD, and with the main squares, royal buildings and pagodas as centrepieces. It is not to be missed. It is worth a full day's touring at the minimum. I can really recommend spending probably a couple of nights there. You get away from the hustle and bustle of Tamil and Kathmandu. You wake up at 6:30 every morning to the bells chanting as people come in for their early morning rituals.
Recently, I spoke to Michelle Giovanni about her trip to Bhaktapur.
For those who have not been to Bhaktapur before, I cannot recommend it enough. It is UNESCO World Heritage listed. It is like a living museum, to me, would be the best way of describing it. And I know that it's probably your favourite city in the Paul Michelle.
It is. I love Bhaktapur. And it's funny because I didn't go on my first two trips. I don't think I went there. It was on the third trip that I finally made it to Bhaktapur. And I can't believe I put it off that long. It's only an hour outside of Kathmandu. It's super easy to get to on a paved road. You know, it's no off-roading. And there's just incredible temples and culture, and you can take classes. I took a wood carving class, which is so much harder than it looks, but a lot of fun. And like you said, you can start treks from there. And there's a small village nearby, which we had talked about, Changu Narayan, which has the oldest temple in Nepal. So you can do kind of day treks from there or day hikes, or you can start a longer trek around the valley. It's a really cool place to spend a few days and kind of experience the culture, and then you can head out.
And I have to say, if you go to Bhaktapur, you have to try King's Curd.
Yes. Oh, King's Curd, buffalo milk yogurt. It's the best.
I found out only on my last day that they do mega bowls of it, not just the little 60 or 50 bowls that you sort of have it and you think that's great. You can actually get the whole 1 liter bowls. I think it was about 300 rupees at the time, but I would just scoff one. To describe to people what it's like, buffalo milk has got a far higher fat content, and they cook the yogurt in these terracotta bowls that absorbs the liquid and makes it very, very stiff, and they add a lot, and it's superbly sweet, and it almost has like a yellow tinge to it, but it would have to be the most delicious breakfast I think I've had. And they make it every morning in Bhaktapur, and only in Bhaktapur. So if you go there, you have to try it.
Definitely.
Pathan, or Latipur, is described or translated as the beauteous city. Temples around the centre, Durba Square, the old city architecture make for a compact visit with a must-see urban traverse through the vibrant Museum of Artisan Lanes, living quarters and temples to the Pathan Gate. Be sure and visit the Pathan Museum while you're there. If you want to buy souvenirs, Pathan is a lot cheaper than you'll find in Tamil. Kirtipur, off the main track, the smallest of the Mala royal cities, in itself a living museum and really less touched by tourism. It's located in the south of Kathmandu near Trebathan University. Bugamati is an old Newa village known for its beautiful wood carvings. Sadly, the village was badly hit by the earthquake in 2015, but they are rebuilding. Buddhanath, the largest stupa in the world. Buddhanath is a real respite to get away from the hustle and bustle of Kathmandu. You walk through the gates and everything just seems to go beautifully calm, well worth contemplating, a little bit of meditation. It's the centre of Tibetan Buddhist life in the Kathmandu area. It's generally a more active place than Swayam Buddhinath, but if you come just before sunset, then as you're walking around the stupa, the sky darkens, the place lights up, really memorable. And lastly, in the Kathmandu area, we have Changu Narayan, a fair walk out from Bhaktapur, or a bike ride from Sundarajal. This temple complex to Vishnu is among the oldest and finest in the valley. You can do it as part of a trip to Naga Court as well.
Michelle Giovanni continues about her experience in Changaraya.
Yeah, Changanarayan's actually only 2 hours. A lot of people take a bus and then just walk up the last like 15 minutes or so, but it's actually a really nice walk. You start off in the city, of course, but after about 10 minutes, you end up like in these fields in the middle of nowhere. And what I've been told is that that's how most of Kathmandu used to look, or like the outskirts of Bhaktapur is how Kathmandu used to look before maybe 10 or 15 years ago. You could speak better to that than I can, but I found it really interesting to see sort of the edge of a city and meeting the greenery and all these big open fields and how that used to be what Kathmandu was like, which that blew my mind.
It's just great to be able to get out there. And if you feel like you're not fit enough to walk, there's no real problems, I don't think, taking a mountain bike on these trips.
You know, I am a horrible mountain biker, so I can vouch for that. I'm the sort of person who gets about 5 feet and then I have to walk it up. But I do see a lot of mountain biking in the area, and people say it's some of the best. So I'm sure they would agree with you.
Naga Court is very easy. There's stacks of hotels and lodges, good food and services. It's really good for individual groups and small groups. Large groups, pretty much impractical. Same goes for what I've just said with Kathmandu, because of the number of people that are around there. Really large groups, hard to get around. So to get to Naga Court, it's on the Kathmandu Valley on the eastern ridge. You can get there 1 hour by car. If you want to ride a bike, it's about 4 hours or 3 hours from Bhaktapur if you want to get out from there. It has spectacular views of the eastern Himalayas and the hills below. If you can, I can really recommend that you take a walk up to the watchtower above Naga Court early in the morning to watch the sunrise over the peaks. Next up, we have Kakina and walks around that area. Now, Kakina is a hump on the western ridge of the Shivapuri Ridge on the Kathmandu Valley's northern rim, on the Nuwakot district. Now, it takes about 1 hour to drive, 2 to 3 hours to bike. It's a little over 2,000 metres. You can base yourself in a lodge or restaurant and take walks for 1, 2, or more days in the area. A really nice short trek is along the Alidanda ridgetop eastward for as long as your time allows. Pulchowski. Now, Pulchowski one-day hikes within that area. It's the highest point on the Kathmandu Valley Rim at over 2,700 metres. You can get there by bus, taxi or bicycle to Gudawari and return from the same place. Pulchowski provides the best views of the Kathmandu Valley and the Himalayan ranges as far as the horizon stretches from east to west. There is a fantastic diversity of plants, butterflies, birds. In fact, I would probably rate it much better than in Shivapuri National Park. If you're there in March and April, the rhododendrons will be there in bloom, and it is the best place to take night photographs of the Kathmandu Valley. So, looking at the Kathmandu Rim, you're looking at the northwest rim of Kathmandu Valley above Balaju. Now, the walk from access points on the main road, getting there is, you can get to that area by bus, by car or by bicycle. Again, you can drive right to the top, but I'd really recommend that you can start your hike about 15 minutes walk up from the road to Trisuli. So the walk from the main road to the top will take you about 3 hours. You can also make a traverse south and come down to the valley floor near Swayambhanath, which will take you about 3 hours. It's a protected forest. There's bird life. There's a picnic area at the top with a view of the city, but you won't get any views of any snowy mountains. Next up, we have Shivapuri. And the Shivapuri National Park is located on the northern rim of the Kathmandu Valley. You can get there again by bus, by taxi, or by bicycle to the trailheads at Sundarijal. There are several one-day trip options from Sundarijal. You can contact Park Authority's guidebook or a bike shop for advice. If you want to, you can do a loop and return via Kakani, Kupan, or elsewhere. Why get up into Shivapuri? There's dense forest, there's varied plant and bird life, views over Kathmandu, and from the top of Shivapani you can see the central Nepal Himalayas, especially the Himbalu area, Ganesh Himal, Langtang, and the Rollwalling Himal. Next up we have Kuski, northwest of Pokhara, at the Astam Sunset Village. So from Pokhara, by bus or car, to Madipool. It's a short hike from Madipool to Astam and return. If you stay overnight, you can experience the sunset and the next morning's sunrise. Astam is a really pleasant village with good food and accommodations, and you have panoramic views of the entire Annapurna Range. On top of that, not a lot of people actually get there. Next up, Tanzen. In the Pulpa district, Tanzen is the administrative centre located between Pokhara and Butwell. It's an all-year destination with a really balmy climate, suitable for a day stopover, or if you want, you can spend multiple days there. You can get there by bus or car from Lumbini, Butwell, or Pokhara. Like most Middle Hill towns, Tanzen was built on the Tibet-India trade route. There's a pagoda temple that dates from the early 1800s as part of a larger temple complex. The Bhagavati Temple was built in commemoration of the victory over invading British forces in 1814. Dansen Durba Palace was built during the Rana period and gives Tanzen the atmosphere kind of like a mini Kathmandu. Magas dominate in the area around Tarzan, while Newa and the Hill Chetri and Brahmin cultures dominate the urban areas. Next up, Pathubari Devi. Now, Pathubari Devi is in the Tapuljung district and it's in far eastern Nepal. Getting there is a little bit difficult. We're looking at a plane ride from Kathmandu to Biratnagar or Tapuljan airstrip at Sukhothar. So starting from Sukhothar early in the morning and you follow a well-defined trail for 5 to 6 hours to the top and return the same way. So on the top of Pathubari Hill there's a pagoda-shaped Hindu temple dedicated to the goddess Pathubari, a manifestation of the divine feminine. It is almost the nationally significant, among the most nationally significant pilgrimage sites in Nepal, and a lot of pilgrims actually come up from India to visit it. The Kirat Temple of Magagim was included in mainstream Hinduism after the unification of Nepal. From the top, you have a really splendid view of Kanchenjunga. Another good trek in that same area is the Sri Atnu Sunrise in the Ilam district near the border to India. You can get there by bus or jeep from Ilimbazar or the small towns in the southern Ilam district from Fikal. A country road marked Pashupati Nagar also heads to Sri Atodanda. From some angles, Sri Antudanda looks like a pyramid. From the ridge closest to the border of India, you can see India, Bangladesh and the Nepal Terai on a haze-free day. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of them. A short hike to a viewpoint orders a northeast panorama towards Kanchenjunga and the mountains of Sikkim and Bhutan. sunrise view on a clear day are spectacular. This is the tropical green corner of Nepal with extremely high biodiversity. Attractive also during the dry season, the Antu Hill and ridges are covered with a really good mix of natural forest and tea gardens. Boating and even fishing are possible. In a lake at the top, local trails provide pleasant excursions. And lastly, we have the Hayatrug Waterfall. The Hayatrug Waterfall is the highest waterfall in Nepal at 364 metres. It's in the Terathum district, Subu and Sambu areas. Unfortunately, again, in eastern Nepal, getting there and back is a plane to either Tuple Giant, Sutikar, or from Tumbling Star. You can also drive if you want from Birat Nagar via Dankukta or the Mayanglun Bazaar. The Hayatrug Kola River is a tributary of the Tamar River. The population in the area has a really interesting ethnic mix with Kharatis that are dominant. You can also, and my main reason for doing this, if you want, you can organise a tour and actually do a rappel down the waterfall, which is pretty amazing. And that's it for 1 and 2 day treks. Next up, on our next podcast, I'll be covering 3 and 4 day treks and adventures. I hope you've enjoyed listening and catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Trekking in Nepal. If you want to learn more or access free resources, head over to magicalnepal.com/podcast.